9. Tea Cake knew from bitter experience that your head could only get so small. Everything else can squeeze, suck in, twist around. People can get pretty sideways when they want to or have to, but with your head, there was no negotiation. Tea Cake had direct knowledge of this from the fence that had run along the back of his high school. At the edge of the fence, there was a pipe, set just a few inches too far off the brick facade, that left a 9-inch gap between the school building and freedom. Determined weed smokers used to be able to get off the bus in the morning, cruise through the front doors of the school, sign in for homeroom, and split out the rear fire doors before the handles got chained for the day. Totally legal, by the way. From there, it was just a matter of a shoulder shimmy, a gut suck in for Big Jim Schmittinger, and a willingness to scrape the shit out of both ears as you popped your head through to the other side. If you did all that, boom, you were loose in the open field behind the school building where you could blaze away in peace. The size of his skull was the main reason Tea Cake, as toasty a burnout as you would ever find, actually managed to swing a 3.5 GPA in high school. His head was just too goddamn big to get through the fence. So Tea Cake never got high during the day. It does wonders for your concentration. Some of the math and science even stuck, and when he joined the Navy, he remembered just enough of it to qualify for duty on a ballistic missile sub. It was a plus. At least he had the same bunk every night. Nothing he did manage to learn about Lord of the Flies, though, was of use in his present situation, where his great, big, fucked-up head had done him in again. Stuck, he called out to Naomi from the space between the walls. "What about Vagiline? You got any Vagiline?" "Do I have any what?" "That greasy shit you put in your lips. Get me out of here." "Are you trying to save Vaseline?" "Whatever the fuck it's called. Naomi, get some lotion or grease or butter and get me out of here." She'd been trying like hell not to laugh for the better part of the last few minutes, and it was a battle she now lost. "Oh, yeah, no, definitely. Yes, do that," Tea Cake sputtered. "Yeah, laugh, because this shit is, like, hilarious." He was still in the gap in the walls, and he'd wedged himself in good, in the precisely 9-inch space between two I-beams. He'd done well up to that point, sliding and twisting and pretzeling his body through the tiny open area toward what looked like an enormous map at the far end of the control panel wall. It was dark inside the gap and hard to tell, but it looked like a map anyway, and he had only been a few feet from it when he'd gotten stuck between the beams, and the entirety of his high school experience came flooding back to him. Now he couldn't move his goddamn head. "Lube, you gotta have some lube, right? Throw me it." Naomi took a moment to make sure she'd understood him properly before she poked her head in through the hole in the wall. "I'm sorry, did you just suggest that I carry lubricant around with me?"
I wasn't.
"'Cause that's some offensive shit, Tea Cake."
"I'd like to apologize and start over."
"I mean, I don't know, you got any dental dams in your pocket?"
"Naomi, ma'am, I'm kind of freaking out here."
She took a step back, looked up and down the length of the wall and thought. "Are you good for another $12? She asked. "Although we wouldn't have to buy the roll of tape again." Tea Cake was in no position to negotiate.
"Do what you gotta do, lady. Just promise me you're not gonna pull on me, because at this point I think if the angle's wrong, my left ear is just gonna tear right."
The legs of the metal stool crashed through the drywall 3 feet in front of him and startled him so badly he wrenched his body backward, ripping himself free from the head vise. He fell again, on his ass, in the narrow space that he was now more than ready to evacuate. As he got to his feet, he saw Naomi standing in the new opening. That repair was going to cost more than $12, by the way. She'd hit a seam right between two panels, and they were going to need 3 4x8s now, minimum. She was staring in amazement at the wall beyond. "Holy shit." Tea Cake got to his feet, rubbing his ears in pain, and slid forward until he was alongside her. The broken panels had opened up a section directly in front of the map-like thing he'd been trying to move closer to, and it was bigger and more detailed than he'd been able to see by the light of Naomi's phone's flashlight. It was an enormous, hyper-detailed floor plan depicting every room, conduit, pipe, and piece of wiring in what must have been the old military storage complex. There were hundreds of LED lights painstakingly placed all over the map marking God knows what, but they were all long since deactivated or burned out. Except for one, all the way down at the bottom right corner. Its tiny bulb strobed white, in sync with the light on the warning panel nearby.
T-Kate came over to the schematic, kicked out the remnants of the broken drywall, and stepped out of the inner space, moving back into the reception area. He got a few feet away from the thing to get a better look. He stood shoulder to shoulder with Naomi. She looked at him. "Your ear is bleeding." He reached up to his right ear, but she meant the left. She pulled another Kleenex from the pack she kept in her pocket, wiped his ear gently, folded it over, and pressed it there. "Hold that." He did. He looked at her. No one had put a bandage on one of T-Cake's wounds with their own hand since he was 11 years old. It almost moved him to tears. In fact, he thought he felt the first sting of a couple of them in the corners of his eyes. That was the last thing he needed, to bust out crying in front of her. "What is the matter with me?" "What's the matter?" she asked. She didn't miss much. "Huh? You okay?" "Yeah, just ouch, whatever." She turned and looked at the map. "It's a schematic." She leaned through the wall and ran her hands along it, starting at the top, which was the ground floor. "How many levels are there supposed to be in this place?" "3, main floor and 2 below ground." "There used to be 6, and they watched this stuff." "Yeah, it was military storage since World War II. You know, weapons and what have you. They cleaned it out and sold it about 20 years ago." "And they must have sealed up everything below here." She ran her hand down the schematic to the lower levels, which was the part they really cared about. "See all the sensors? They're all in bunches down here." She was right. By far the greatest concentration of LEDs was on the lower 3 levels, the additional sub-basements. SB2 and SB3 were apparently sealed off and all their monitor lights were dark. The single flashing white bulb was on the very bottom level, marked SB4. But there was a large blank space, 2 feet of map at least, between SB3 and SB4. Tiny scribbles of rock shapes seemed to indicate it was earthen. T-Cake studied it, trying to figure it out. "Who builds a sub-basement 100 feet below the other basements? You'd have to dig the whole thing out, build the bottom floor, then fill in again above it. That makes no sense." "You want to go down and see it?" He looked at her. "How? It's sealed." "That." She pointed to the far left side of the map where a thin vertical column rose up from SB4 through the earthen portion and skirted along the edges of the other sub-basement levels. It was narrow, with hatch marks drawn evenly between the long parallel lines all the way up. "What is it?" "A tube ladder." "How do you know?" "It's shaped like a tube and it looks like a ladder. How else would they get down there?" She pointed to the hatchings. "Look, these are the rungs." He was impressed. "You must go to college, right? It's a waste if you don't."
"I go as much as I can, yeah."
"Then you should be smart enough to not want to go down there."
"Come on," she said. "This is the most fun I've had in years. This is a night out for me."
"Jesus, that's depressing. You don't go out?"
"Not really."
"What about just, like, for beer?"
"I don't drink," he persisted.
"Not even for one beer?"
"That would be drinking."
"You never go out for one beer?"
This is getting off the point.
But he was determined. "What about a coffee?"
"I thought you were fun, T-Cake. You started out fun."
"Me? I'm totally fun. I'm huge fun. You're the one who just said your best night out in years is vandalizing your workplace."
"I have an inquisitive nature." She held up her phone and snapped a picture of the schematic.
"Yeah, I can see that, and that's cool. I'm, like, cooperating. You look at me with those eyes you got, and you say, 'Please throw your chair through the wall,' and, you know, I'm on board. I throw my chair through the wall, and then you say, 'Go crawl into that weird space and check it out.' Still good. I'm into it. But then you come at me like, 'Go down the tube ladder a couple hundred feet into the blocked-off part of the fucked-up government shit and see why the thermistor alarm is going off,' and, you know, a man's gonna take a second to think things through. You feel me?"
She waited a moment. "Do you like my eyes?"
"In fact, I do."
"That's very sweet."
"My point is, I'm kind of easy to talk into things. That's why I got the problems I got. People say shit like, 'Wait in the car and keep it running. I just got to run in and do something.' Or, 'I know this guy in Dowsman needs a favor.' And I say, 'Yeah, sure. I just point the gun at my foot and pull the trigger. Is that what I do? Bang, ow, what a surprise. I blew my toe off. Should I do it again? Okay.' But I have spent a lot of time working on my personal self and talking to smart people and learning to ask what's good for me and to not just dive into shit. Which is what I am doing right now, okay? I am taking a fucking moment."
"I understand. I respect that."
"It is very, very important to learn to tell everybody in the whole world to fuck off all the time. It took me forever to learn that."
"I'm not sure that was the exact message you were supposed to..." But he glared at her, so she stopped and recharted her course.
I'm sorry, I get you had some bad stuff happen to you. I was not being cool. Okay, good. That's more like it. He took a deep breath and let it out again, then pulled a flashlight off a battery charger on the wall next to the desk and headed for the gate that led deeper into the building. You coming or what?